This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Massachusetts has a new bank, and it's a green one. Governor Maura Healey launched it to create a kind of trifecta for the state: affordable housing, green buildings, and a draw for federal funds. Let's welcome WBUR climate and environment reporter Miriam Wasser and Mindy Luber, president and CEO of Ceres. It's a sustainability nonprofit. She's also a former regional administrator for the EPA. Miriam, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Mindy, welcome to you.
Delighted to be here.
So, Miriam, at its simplest level, let's just start with what on earth is a green bank?
Oh, it's such a good question. Okay, so I worked really hard to distill this down for you, Tiziana. So, at the most basic level, a green bank works sort of like a normal bank. It lends money to people, developers, institutions, etc., so that they can afford to build things or do a project. But a green bank is different in a few notable ways. Number one, they are mission-driven institutions, so they are designed to influence certain environmental or development outcomes. Two, they are designed to fill a gap that the market might not otherwise fill. Three, they work by making it easier and more affordable to borrow money for those climate-friendly projects. And four, one of the main purposes of a green bank is to take a small pot of state or public money and then attract federal or private money, right?
Got
so
it.
Like, what does that mean? Just a quick example, a green bank might agree to fund 20% of a project, and then it works to get other banks to bring in that to fund the other 80%.
So put in some money, get some money towards green development here.
Yep. And what makes the Massachusetts Climate Bank unique is that it's devoted to green, affordable housing. So okay. In other states, it can be like any sort of green project.
So we'll come back to that part in a minute. Mm-hmm. Mindy Luber, I'll turn to you. How big of a deal for Massachusetts is this?
This is a very big deal. And let me say why. First of all, you talked about the trifecta in your opening. This is the trifecta. Energy from housing, meaning greenhouse gas emissions, is about 25% of our overall emissions. It used to be third. It was always electric utilities first, transportation second in terms of harmful emissions, and housing third. And very little was being done for housing. It was easier to address, let's go to electric cars, let's have electric charging stations. And truly, we're not yet there on transportation. We've addressed some of it in the utilities, but very little has been done on the housing side. 25% of emissions is a lot. But the fact of the matter is this proposal, this initiative, addresses three things, to go back to your trifecta. One is bringing emissions down and being able to reach our climate goals for the Commonwealth, which happens to impact the rest of the country. Two is to focus on housing, which has not been done around the country. And housing that's equitable, low-income, moderate-income housing, not just big, fancy, brand-new buildings that could be more energy efficient. And in communities, their emissions are even larger because there's so much old housing in lower-income communities. We want to fix that. We want to change that. So this bank not only addresses climate goals, it is about equity, it is about addressing housing, and it is about bringing resources to the game.
We're speaking with Mindy Luber, who's president and CEO of the sustainability nonprofit Ceres, and WBUR climate and environment reporter Miriam Wasser about this new green bank. So we've kind of got it set up now, Miriam, and you've told us basically what a green bank is and does. And now this distinction, right? As I understand it, and according to the EPA, as of 2021, there were 21 green banks in 16 states and the District of Columbia. But this rooting it in affordable housing, this is the place that Massachusetts is starting. This is something different.
Yep. This is the, as far as we know, this is the first green bank that is devoted solely to affordable housing. And the Healey administration has said, you know, they're open to expanding that in the future. So in other states, a green bank could help a solar developer afford to build a big solar project, right? Like there's a lot of things you could do with a green bank. But yes, here in Massachusetts, this money will be used to both build new green affordable housing and to retrofit existing affordable housing units.
Do you have any kind of an example that gets this really practical for us, Miriam? So either like some project you've seen in the past around affordable housing or green affordable housing that this might have helped fund, or some new thing in the offing?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have like a specific development, but let's say that there is an affordable housing developer who wants to build this new 100-unit building. You know, maybe they go to a regular bank and they can get an interest rate that's the market interest rate. That might not make things work out that well. It might be hard to build. They might not make a lot of profit. They might have to cut corners. Maybe they're not as energy efficient as they want them to be. The idea of a green bank is that they could go to this institution and maybe get a better deal. So maybe they get a lower interest rate or a longer repayment program, or there's all sorts of sort of innovative financing structures that could help make projects possible that wouldn't otherwise be possible.
So Mindy Luber, that makes me wonder, and I had not thought of this before until Miriam just gave that example. So I'm developer X, right? Miriam just gave us developer X. They want to build 100 units of affordable housing, market rate interest versus what the Green Bank can provide. Is it the case that the purpose of this Green Bank is A, to make sure that developer X, who wants, bear with me, who wants to develop 100 units of green affordable housing gets the money, or B, who wants to develop 100 units of affordable housing now gets the money in such a way that they're incentivized to make those 100 units green? Do you understand my question?
I understand it, and I think the bottom line is it's both.
Yeah.
Okay. What we want to do is turbocharge financial mechanisms to make sure that new buildings and old buildings are far more energy efficient. If the Commonwealth is going to get to its 48% goal of reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 2030 and nearly 100 by 2050, it is impossible to do unless we address the housing market. This is a great way to incentivize those who never thought about it. A developer who never thought about making the building green, but if all of a sudden he could get better interest rates by making those new units green and energy efficient, well, that's a good thing. They will then result in bringing our emissions down. So either way, we want to foster this. We want to make sure there's resources for sometimes grants, more often loans, lower interest rates. But this is an entryway for many to start looking at how they could effectively and financially move forward with housing that's energy efficient.
And Miriam Wasser, you know, Mindy has said a number of times already that this is partly about new construction, but that we have so much affordable housing stock that is not green. I'm thinking of the number of times in the last couple of months, we have Boston Mayor Michelle Wu on every month, right? The number of times she's referred to the millions of dollars she's intending to spend to turn existable affordable housing units into energy efficient and climate efficient housing units, assuming, and I'm making this one up, right? But let me be very clear, Boston Mayor Michelle Wu didn't say she was applying to the new Massachusetts Green Bank, but I'm assuming that's also the kind of thing we're talking about here.
Yeah, and I think the finances for new development are very different than the finances for retrofitting existing buildings. And, you know, there's a lot about the Green Bank that we don't know yet, and I think we'll find a lot of that out either later this summer or later this fall. But, you know, there might also need to be other sticks from the state that sort of push existing housing owners to go a certain direction or to make it easier to retrofit. But yes, I think in some ways addressing the buildings that exist now is probably the bigger challenge.
So, Mindy Luber, you've been with the EPA. You're on the Boston Green Ribbon Commission. One thing that occurred to me, we are 150,000 housing units short in the state. We know how bad the need for affordable housing is. We know how tough zoning is, right? We are talking all the time on this show about the pain points of developing any housing, additional housing, let alone affordable housing. Will this actually work to help get more affordable housing developed and then it will also be greener?
I think it will help. I don't think it's the determining factor, but if somebody is going to build or even think about building, these incentives are real. And let me say one thing about why this is particularly clever, this particular Massachusetts Green Bank focused on housing, focused on equity and justice. The Biden administration and the Congress passed the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, $369 billion, not million, but billion dollars to go into addressing climate. 40% of that for frontline communities who have been harmed more than others. This is a way to bring more of that money into the state, partner with the feds, bring more money into our local communities, and have a big enough pot of money to do just what you said, jumpstart some new housing that may not have already been on the books.
So, Miriam Wasser, back over to you. We've been talking about this trifecta, right? Affordable housing, greener buildings, more federal money. We're going to come back to this $300 billion in just a second because I'm curious about it too. But I just asked Mindy Luber, will it work on the affordable housing front? What's the potential on the reducing greenhouse gases front?
I think it's huge. I mean, again, you know, a lot remains to be seen, but this is, we know how to decarbonize buildings. The biggest challenge is that it often requires a lot of upfront money, and people don't always have that money. We have programs in the state like Mass Save that can help you do that, but sometimes those programs aren't enough, right? It's one thing to get a rebate for something, but maybe you can't afford a rebate if you don't have that upfront money. So this Green Bank is designed to help either work with Mass Save or work with whatever institution we might create to either replace Mass Save, to help make these things possible, to help provide a way to get money to people so that they can do this work. So yes, it could make a big dent.
So now, and we're talking about the Massachusetts Green Bank, this new Green Bank. We've got Miriam Wasser, WBUR climate and environment reporter, and Mindy Luber, president and CEO of a sustainability nonprofit called Ceres. So now we get to the money, right? There's Inflation Reduction Act money. The state is seeding this, but as you told us at the very top, Miriam, part of the idea is to draw in other funds, right? Mm-hmm. You take some public funds. Hopefully that sweetens the pot for private money to say, yeah, we'll play too. But there is this move for federal money. And the very first time that Governor Healey came on Radio Boston for her monthly appearance, you know, she said, listen, I don't just want to compete. I want to win. She went out and actually made a hire. She actually hired former candidate for Attorney General Quentin Palfrey to be the director of federal funds and infrastructure to get money. So, Mindy Luber, what is the potential for Massachusetts to win on federal dollars in some new way with a green bank like this? Does it jack up that potential significantly?
Significantly. And the state is all over this. On my last two trips to Washington at the White House and elsewhere, somebody from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, including Quentin Palfrey, were there. We're touching the right people, ringing the right doorbells. This is about bringing a good deal of that $369 billion, enough money around the country to be transformative, to transform housing, to transform renewable energy, to bring jobs to our communities. This has the potential, to go back to your trifecta differently, to be a win-win-win, to truly impact our carbon emissions and what we're doing to meet our climate goals. Two is to change the housing system. And three is to do it in an equitable way, to be in the communities. 40% of that $369 billion of the IRA is designed to go to frontline communities who have been harmed more than other communities. This does it all. Now, it's not magic. It will take a lot of hard work. The $50 million that the state is seeding this bank is a good start, but we've got a long way to go. We've got to bring in the Fed money and private sector.
Yeah, and I just to add to that, you know, Mindy's talking about these frontline communities. These are often people who already pay disproportionately high energy bills too. And so the ability to retrofit these homes will lower energy costs, will make living in Massachusetts more affordable and healthier for these same people too.
When does it really start, Miriam?
I don't think we quite know that. I think we should get a lot. When I talk to people in the administration, they're expecting to have more details either later this summer or early this fall. I think right now they have the bones of what they want to do, and they're hiring people and figuring all of this stuff out now.
And I understand you gave us a pretty good definition of a green bank at the beginning, but that wasn't easy to get. This is really complicated.
This is, and I am not a finance person. When the announcement came out, you know, I watched the press release, the press conference. I read the press release. I did a bunch of Googling, and I kept just being like, I don't get it. Like, what is this going to do? And I called all these people, and they used all this jargon with me, leveraging private capital and de-risking loans. And I would just keep saying, cool, like, what does that mean? Like, can I use this money to do something to my house? And I don't know. It became very clear to me that this is a complicated yet very important topic. And so the nerd that I am decided to figure it out so that I could explain it to others. So I would encourage you to go to WBUR.org and read our explainer about how green banks work.
It is quite understandable. And just briefly, Mindy, what are you going to watch for next in this space?
I'm going to watch for the rollout. For can we roll this out? Can the Commonwealth roll this out quickly enough to have an impact? Right now, we know the IRA money is there. Anything could change after the election. Certainly, I don't have a crystal ball. We want to make sure this money is coming into Massachusetts as soon as possible. We want to bring the private sector leaders in the state to the table to make sure they're matching some of the dollars. And we want to make sure when people go for their loans, just to make it English, that they're seeing they could get a better rate if, in fact, they're looking at how to make sure their units, their buildings, their projects are more energy efficient. And that is the only way we're going to reach our climate goals in this Commonwealth.
All right. Mindy Luber is president and CEO of Ceres, which is a sustainability nonprofit. And Miriam Wasser, as you know, is WBUR climate and environment reporter. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.